Okay, Hilchos Yom Tov. You're learning regarding funerals or burials on Yom Tov. How often does it happen? So, I called, just for fun, I called Eretz HaChaim, right, the cemetery, a very Anglo cemetery right outside Beit Shemesh, and they said they never do burials on any Yom Tov. They are outside of our tchum, sure.
That would be another complication.
Well, not necessarily. We'll get to that today. So it is a complication, but yes, it's still possible. So they never do it. But they did tell me that on occasion they will do it in Yerushalayim. So I called Har Menuchos. Yeah, second, such as Rosh Hashanah, but it could also be the first day Yom Tov through a non-Jew. So I didn't ask. Anyway, so they said on occasion it is done, rare occasion in Yerushalayim. I called Har Menuchos. I don't know who picked up the phone. It could have been a secretary on his first day. It could have been the head guy. And he said, no, we never do it. But there are other places, Har Zeitzim, this and that. So I don't know. But I spoke to another Rav. I think it was Rav Weiner, who says, yes, you know, sometimes it's done in Yerushalayim. And anyways, there are rare occasions. In Chutz La'aretz it's done, probably just by Hasidim, but anyways, it's rarely done on any day of Yom Tov, first or second, but it could be.
Do Goyim come to retrieve the body and put it into storage? Is that done on Yom Tov?
It depends really on the case. It could be. It could be allowed. Okay. What's done? I don't know what's done. In general... No, I'm sure in general, unless you need to, you don't do anything. You don't do anything. The body is muksa, but we learned anytime it's muksa, you're allowed to move it with a key quarantine because
there's a need.
So we discussed that yesterday.
We learned Baruch Hashem all the halachas of the...
Right. You can only move it for the sake of the dead body, whatever is called the tzarech we discussed yesterday, but not for to make it more convenient for the living people. That's not a reason. Okay, so let's do hey. Tav kuf chav vav hey. Hachofer kever lemeit biyom tov sheni. Mutar lo litol schar. So in cases when you're allowed to do a funeral, a burial, on Yom Tov, such as a Jew by Yom Tov Sheni, whatever the case is, it's mutter for him to get paid if that's what's necessary. Now, what's it called? It's mutter, it's for a mitzvah. However, you can't discuss money and you can't actually pay him cash or actually pay him on Yom Tov. Now, let's say the person requires it and says, I'm only going to do the job for you if you actually do pay me, or we talk about how much, then you do pay him. Because for you, either way, it might be usher for him to ask and to take it, but you, as being responsible for the niftar, for you, you're allowed to actually even bury it yourself. So if you're allowed to do a malacha on Yom Tov Sheni, you're certainly allowed to just hand over some money, which is just a din derabanan. Okay. It could be, yeah, it would only be Yom Tov Sheni, because you can't do any malach on Yom Tov Rishon. It could be, you could pay a non-Jew. I take it back. On a first day, when a non-Jew is allowed to do it for you, it could be that you're allowed to pay him as well, because it's only an Isser Darabana. So, probably you could actually. But anyways, let's go on. Vav. Mutar l'lavot hamet b'yom tov rishon toch hatchum. Now, you're allowed to do a lot of go. Okay, for the purposes of a levaya, all you're doing, it's a big mitzvah, but you're not actually participating in the actual physical burial itself to make it happen. It can happen with or without you. So therefore, on yom tov rishon, we said a non-Jew does the actual burial, and anybody could join in the levaya. It's a mitzvah for everybody to join in the levaya. You should join in the levaya for Yom Tov Rishon, but it's only permitted if it's Toch ha-tchum, you can't go outside the tchum because you're not needed, so you can't do any isurim. Ubiyom tov sheni, on a yom tov sheni, when you're allowed to, the Jew is allowed to do it, he's allowed to do the actual isurim. Now, the people who are just doing the levaya, the malavim, the people who are escorting, makayim that mitzvah, that they can do, afilu chutz ha-tchum. Those people can walk even outside the tchum. Now these people can't do other isurim that are not necessary for the burial, but tchumin we allow to do. It doesn't look like you're doing an avera. It's not going to lead to deraisa. It's only anyway, you're only walking. We're going to see how this comes up later. So chutz tchum you're allowed to go. V'chozim komam bo bayom. Now this is interesting. Normally when you leave a tchum, you can't come back. Right? Wow. Here they allowed you. It's Yom Tov Sheni. And they allow you, even if you went, doesn't matter if you went 2 mil or you went 12 mil. It doesn't matter. It's you're allowed to go and you're allowed to come back. No, does not seem to be any limitations. Even if you hold at Chum is Daraisa, you can still go and you can still come back. Why? Because it's Yom Tov Sheni. V'chein mutar lahachzir klei hakavura shahalicho imahem chutz latchum. Not only that, I mean it makes sense, since it's Yom Tov Sheni, we consider it like a chol regarding a burial. So you're allowed to carry any kalim you need to go out, and you're allowed to bring them back. They're not muksa, it's a kli shemalachto leheter. That's what the Mishnah Berurah calls it. And it's miyuchad for burials, and it's miyuchad for, and you're allowed to do burials on Yom Tov. So that's why he calls it klisha malachto leheter. And even just, if it's a klisha malachto leheter, even just to protect them, then you're allowed to carry them. There's no issues, right? We learn it's carrying the tzarach as mutter. And therefore, and he says, once you're mutter to carry, this is a klal in muksa, once you're allowed to carry a muksa, you're not required to stop at the first place you can put it down. Once you're able to carry it, you're allowed to carry it all the way to your house and put it wherever you want to. Okay, Zion.
Even if you let it out of your hand.
Well, once you put it down, then I think you're stuck. Zion. Hamalavim et hamet asurim lirkov al behema afilu biyom tosheni vafilu ha'avelim. Now, right. So it depends what the. Right. Well, then it might be shalol etzarech. So we'll talk.
Producer, let's pause the conversation.
So hamalavim. Now, if you want to now people who are escorting the mate, we learned that they're allowed even on Yom Tov Sheni. We learned they're allowed to go chutz atchum, but the Mechaber writes, but it's aser to go on a behema. Because it's your malavim. All you're doing is escorting. You're not needed for the actual burial. So therefore, we allow only going outside the tchum, but we don't allow any iser derabanan. So it depends how you learn. I don't know 100%. It's either every iser derabanan except for tchumin is aser, or it could be the way the Mishnah Berurah says. Again, the Mishnah Berurah says two different things. So it's unclear. And again, it's not solemaisa, but any iser derabanan that can lead to an iser deraisa, such as cutting off from a tree, that for sure is what is aser. What about an iser derabanan that's just a little shvut and it's not going to lead to anything? We'll leave that as a tzarachia. And he also says rechiva is worse. Riding is worse than just walking, like going outside the tchum, because walking, everybody walks. But nobody rides on Shabbos and Yontov on an animal or in a car, etc. So that's worse. So we see that just escorters, they're for sure allowed to go outside the tchum on Yom Tov Sheni, but it's a question by other Yisurei Derabanan. V'afilu an avelim. Avelim, there's no difference between an avel and a malavel. Once the burial's over, an avel is the same category, the burial's older, is over. So the only thing you're allowed to do is go back. We learned back. You can go outside the tchum again. Back, you can go back where you came from, but to do other isurim by traveling, is apparently not allowed.
But to go to the funerals,
if you're involved, if you're one of the people who are actually needed to bury, then you're allowed to go. But you can't, and you're allowed to go outside the tchum, and you're allowed to even ride if you need to. But you can't ride back. Aval here. Aval ha-kovrim, shetzrichim le-kovro, but the kovrim that are needed. In iyashar matirin le-miyom tovsheni lirkov al-gabe behema. So they're allowed to ride in order to get there, but not to get back. Okay. Okay, that's it. Right. And so you're just like nowadays. In those days, they ran on horses. You can go on boats if needed. You can get in a car and have someone drive you. All these things are okay on mutter for the purpose of the burial. Okay, but not for escorting. Okay, chet. Im noda livnei ir acha sheYisrael meit rachok misham arba chamisha yamim v'lo nitan likvora. So this is the case. You live in one city, you find out there's a non-Jewish city, and you have a Jew who died, and he's over there, and he's been waiting 4 or 5 days, and you want to go take care of him. It's basically like a mate mitzvah. You don't know how he's being protected. And so that's the case where it's for sure mutter. So you hear about the body that's there. So afal pishal yuchel agia lo ad le'achar ha-moed mutter lati le'derech v'yom tov sheni kedi lamaher kvurato. Let's say it's a 2-day journey, and you're not going to get there right away. You're not going to get there until way after Yom Tov, in a couple days from now. And you're not going to bury the body until after Yom Tov. You're still allowed to travel chutz l'tchum on Yom Tov Sheni, because it's going to make it get faster. It's going to smell less. You don't even know what's the situation with the body. What's going on over there? Is it going to be protected or not? Anyway, so bottom line, though, generally it's not an issue, because usually, even if you're waiting for the body, nowadays it's kept in refrigeration and you know it's going to be protected. But in a case where you know it's dangerous for the body to be in a worse situation, then that's when it's mutter to be mechal al yom tosheni. Haga, umutter lahavi meit bi yom tosheni mechutz l'tchum ha'ir l'kovro b'kvuras Yisrael. Af al pi shayashar l'kovro b'mkomo. Now, and the Ramah says not only that, you're allowed to even bring the body on Yom Tov Sheni to be buried after Yom Tov Sheni, because this is all part of the process. But you'd rather it, so maybe it's going to be buried on Yom Tov Sheni. I'm not sure about the other case. But anyways, you're allowed to go on Yom Tov Sheni to bring it to be buried, even though you could have buried it there in a Goyish cemetery or just somewhere in the ground, but you want to bury it in a proper Jewish cemetery, a proper kavura. So for that, you're allowed to. Anyway, again, these cases are not so common, or lamaisa, because usually nowadays, again, it depends on situations, hostage situations, etc., where it could be mutter lechatila, even on Yom Tov. I mean, there are cases when it's, even on Shabbos you're allowed to, I'm not passing, because of all many, many various factors, it's often mutter, even nowadays, on Shabbos, to take care of a dead body. Because often it affects the morale, it affects, if you have a window to do something, we know the cost of waiting is often costs lives and freeing other prisoners. So, okay, Tet. Tinok shemeit betoch shloshim. Now, what happens if a baby passes away within 30 days? Right, shaloneda. Im gam l'sero v'tziparnav. As soon as it looks like it's a fully born baby, which is generally the case, and it has hair, its nails look normal, it looks like it's not a nephil, it looks like it's going to live. Hu becheskat ben kiyama. It has a chazaka that it's going to live, it's a ben kiyama, and it has the same dinim, v'dino kemeis gado, and it has the exact same din of any other person who passes away. We assume it's a full life, 100%. We don't really know if it was born, what month it was born, 7, 8, 9. We don't really know. We don't know the status. But derob nashim yodes vlad kayama. It's a chazaka. Most women, when they give birth, it's a bar kayama, and therefore you treat it no difference. We're going to come up. So that's the general halacha. It makes no difference. Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah. But after Yud, we're going to see there is a potential small difference. Okay. And in general, we see by on a Yom Tov, when you bury it, it's allowed to be done. When if it's on Yom Tov Sheni, it could be done by a Jew. That's the halacha lemaisa for Sephardim. You can either let a Jew do it or have non-Jews do it. We learned already, though, generally for Ashkenazim, anytime it's Yom Tov, first or second, they get a non-Jew to take care of the Surah Deraita. Okay? Now, Yud. Nephalim, these are, basically it means a baby that's born, and you expect it not to live. Nephal Vadai, you expect it not to live. And again, this halacha could apply to a nephal suffix.
Exactly. A miscarriage where you have substance.
A stillborn is the exact same halacha as a nephal vadai, where it's, right, a stillborn. It's born, and it wasn't even born alive. It just came out. That's a stillborn. Shenagu lahase or latam bitsuor evin o bekane. So the minag is, any time a boy is born and is buried, and it didn't have a bris milah, so the, when it died, and so now you need to bury it, the minag is, again, it's to help, it's a takana for, they say it's a takana for poshim. It could either that's for people who didn't do a bris milah on purpose, so this bris milah is to help them out. Some say it helps the niftar himself when he gets to Shemayim, and he shouldn't be embarrassed, and it also helps him in his status. Whatever it is, that's the minhag, that any time a boy is buried and he didn't yet have a bris milah when he was alive, we do it when he's dead. And it's done typically with not a regular metal sakin, it's done with a sharp stone or wood or a reed or something like that. So, can you do it on Yom Tov? So number one, a nephil, you're not allowed to bury on Yom Tov. Not first day, not second day. Not a stillborn, not a nephil. Asur afilu b'yom tov sheni shogalios. And regardless if it is being born or not being born, buried or not buried, let's say you have to bury it, the Memshalan says you have to bury it, whatever, or a goy is going to bury it for you. Whatever the situation is, no matter what, you're not allowed to remove his orla on Yom Tov Sheni. It's called Sheken Yom Tov Rishon. Haga. Now, the Rama writes, V'asa l'kavro b'yom tov. So, now, if it's a case where you need to remove the orla, don't do it on Yom Tov. Ela menichu ad l'machar. And in this case, where you have to do a bris milah on the niftar, on the mace, so then you just wait until the next day, not on Yom Tov Sheni or Rishon. So this would apply to a child who didn't have a bris milah, or a child who's a nephil vadai, or a stillborn. Any one of these cases, you would push it off to the next day. Okay. So just to recap, to combine Tet and Yud together, if you have a baby that was born, and it's after, and it dies after 30 days, any baby that lives 30 days, any case where you have a baby that's born and it lives 30 days and it dies, so then everybody holds, you bury it on Yom Tov Sheni. Again, we don't usually do it, but according to the Ikar Halacha, everybody holds, you bury it on Yom Tov Sheni, and you remove the orla.
No, he's talking about after.
I'll get to Toch afterwards. You're both right, but there's two cases. So if it's after 30 days, everybody agrees, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, you do the bris milah and you bury him on Yom Tov Sheni. Okay. Everybody holds if it's less than 30 days, and it already had, a boy already had a circumcision, right? He could have been 8 days old and he had a circumcision and then dies. Or if it's a nekeva, doesn't need one. Everybody holds, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, we bury him on the second day Yom Tov. Happens to be a machlokas between Sephardic poskim and Ashkenazi poskim, if it's within 30 days and didn't have a bris milah. So Sfardim would say you give it a bris milah and you bury it. That's the words of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Rama would say you wait until after Yom Tov to bury it. Okay, hope that was clear. Okay. That's a nephil. But every baby that's born, unless you know it's a nephil, it's a vadai ben kayama, based on a chazaka. Yud Aleph. Here, I'll discuss it with you after. It's pretty clear. There's what to say on the Mishnah Berurah too, but maybe I'll save that for later. When you read, I'll just tell you. Read the Mishnah Berurah if you don't mind me saying with a grain of salt, because if you look up the Beis Yosef himself, you look up the Beda Kabayit, he's extremely clear what he says, what he holds, and so too it's explained in the Kaf HaChaim. But let's go on for purposes of Yud Aleph. Ein Kore'in Alameis Afilu B'Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, Afilu Krovav. No, right, there's a halacha that if anyone Karov has to tear a kriya when he loses a mace, and there's also a lacha. Everybody tears kriya. We'll get into this later. Everybody tears kriya who was there b'yitziyat neshama, when the neshama leaves. I know people often don't, unless they're a karov, but for the purposes of Hilchas Yom Tov, there's no pitur, just because the body died on Yom Tov. Again, we're talking about any mace, child, grown up, doesn't matter. But there's no patur of doing kriya, but you can't do it on Yom Tov. So you just wait till Yom Tov is over, and then you tear kriya, and you say dayanemes. Or again, you wait for the kavura, and you do it at the same time. Whatever you do. Yud Bet. Keshemit belel Yom Tov Sheni. Now, if it dies on the night of Yom Tov Sheni, according to the Ikar Halacha, you're going to bury it even with Jews on Yom Tov Sheni in the morning. So the question is, when? What time do you do it in the morning? Okay? Again, this does not usually come up. Mashkimin v'kovin oto kodem tefila. So if a Jew is going to do it, then you do it before you daven, before you eat. Because we want to minimize the time you're an onin. You can't daven anyway if you're going to do it. There is if you're going to bury it that day. So we're talking about Yom Tov Sheni, and the Jews are going to bury him. We'll discuss.
No.
Okay, thank you. So, and the other thing is, if a Jew is going to do it, he's going to be zaris. He's going to be quick and take care of it quickly in the morning, so that you can move on with your day of davening and eating. However, if it's a non-Jew, then they say let's go daven first and perhaps even eat first, because the non-Jew till he gets around to do it, he's going to take a while, he's going to be slow, and it'll take a while. Again, Lamaisa ask a Rav, but also Lamaisa almost never comes up. Keshemes bayom, and if it dies during the daytime already, the day already started, so then kovrin uto achar achila. So then you just go ahead, finish davening, finish eating, and then take care of it. Because already, it's not being done first thing in the morning, obviously, if it's dying during the day. If their body died during the day. Okay? And also, this way, it also makes issues if you want to have people have a chance to come to the Levaya. If everyone's in davening and eating, no one's going to come to the Levaya. We're talking about in those days when everyone lived in the city, no one flew in for the Levaya, everyone just walked to the edge of their city, and everybody came, and everybody should come. So if you're going to start doing the Levaya at 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning, no one's going to come. Everyone's is already davening or having their meal after davening eats. So that's how it used to be. Okay. And again, it all depends on the case. Okay, I think fine. We'll stop. We're done.